Imagine, you buy a list of, say, 1,000 highly targeted business contacts, right?
Right.
You spend a good chunk of your marketing budget on this list. You load it up into your email software. You hit send on this carefully crafted campaign. And, well, you realize that 500 of those people either quit, got fired, or changed companies months ago.
Yeah, which is just the worst feeling.
Oh, it's terrible. But for most marketers listening to this deep dive, that isn't really a nightmare scenario. I mean, it is just a Tuesday.
That's totally just the accepted cost of doing business in B2B sales right now. Like,
Yep.
you buy the data, you expect precision, and instead you get this this landscape that is just incredibly murky.
Yeah,
To
exactly.
expect the list to give you the current VP of marketing at a Chicago agency, but you know, the reality is you are often buying a historical artifact.
Historical artifact. That's exactly the massive pain point we are tackling today. Because we have a whole stack of research in front of us, anchored by a really comprehensive review from Ivana Taylor over at DIY Marketers.
Right, and they're great at this stuff.
They really are. They focus on finding lean, effective tools for small businesses. And they've been testing this brand new AI-driven lead generation tool called Origami or Origami.chat.
Yeah.
And the claim here is wild. They're saying that up to 50% of contacts pulled from traditional lead generation databases are just dead on arrival, like stale data, wrong titles, irrelevant companies.
50%, I mean, that's half your list.
Half. So our mission today for this deep dive is to really figure out why the established tools fail so spectacularly for certain markets and how Origami uses real-time AI agents to just bypass those databases entirely.
Yeah. And most importantly, how you can actually test if this works for your specific business. Because you
And
have to test it.
always, okay, let's unpack this. To really understand the solution, we first have to look at the structural mechanics of the problem, right? Like,
Yeah.
why are these traditional lists so bad?
Well, the flaw with traditional B2B databases, and we're talking about the heavyweights here, like Apollo or ZoomInfo,
Right.
the flaw isn't a bug in their software. It is a fundamental feature of how large centralized data systems operate. I mean, they're essentially giant digital phone books.
Okay, right.
They take periodic snapshots of the business world, they scrape data, package it into a massive warehouse, and then, you know, they sell you access to that warehouse.
But the business world doesn't stand still.
Far from it. The average American changes jobs every 4 years.
Wow, every 4 years.
Yeah. That means in a database of, say, 100 million professionals, tens of thousands of data points become obsolete literally every single day.
That's crazy to think about.
Right. A database isn't a vault, you know, it's a leaky bucket. Data scientists actually call this data decay.
Data decay. I like that term.
Yeah, when a system takes a snapshot, that snapshot starts aging the millisecond it is saved.
Yeah.
People get promoted, companies merge, domain names change.
But I mean, I've seen the marketing copy for those legacy platforms, though. They boast massive numbers, like 275 million
Yeah.
contacts. So if a database is that huge, shouldn't the sheer volume kind of compensate for the decay? Like, you just filter for what you need.
What's fascinating here is volume is actually a liability if the data isn't actively verified.
Wait, really? A liability?
Oh, absolutely. Having 200 million contacts is completely useless if a significant portion of your specific export hasn't been re-verified in like 8 months.
Oh, I see.
Because when you export a list from a static database and send an email campaign, you are literally putting your company's digital reputation on the line.
Okay, yeah.
If that list has a bounce rate over 5%, that data is effectively toxic.
Okay, wait, I want to pause on that because a 5% failure rate in almost any other industry is considered a roaring success,
I can
right?
totally.
Like if 95% of my packages get delivered, I'm doing okay. Why is 5% toxic in email marketing?
Well, because cold email infrastructure operates on very strict trust metrics. When your emails bounce at a rate of 5% or higher, email providers like Google and Microsoft, they notice immediately.
They're watching.
They are always watching. They flag your domain name as a spam risk, and the sender reputation damage is just severe.
So you get put in the penalty box.
Exactly.
Huh.
Suddenly, not only are your cold outreach emails going to the junk folder, but the legitimate warm emails you send to your actual clients start going to spam too.
Oh, wow. That's terrifying.
It is. And repairing that reputation takes weeks or even months of careful technical domain warming. So a massive list of unverified contacts is just a minefield.
That makes a lot of sense. The decay creates a delivery hazard. But, you know, the DIY Marketers Review points out another massive blind spot with these static databases, and it's entirely separate from the decay.
Right, the LinkedIn bias.
Exactly. It's about where they source their initial snapshots from. So tell us about this LinkedIn bias.
Yeah, the LinkedIn blind spot is totally systemic. Think about how these traditional tools are built. They rely heavily on scraping professional networking sites.
Right.
So if you sell B2B software as a service to tech companies, Apollo and ZoomInfo are phenomenal.
Because tech workers are always on there.
Exactly. Tech workers update their LinkedIn profiles the absolute second they get a new job. They live on the platform.
But, I mean, that systematically excludes huge swaths of the actual American economy.
Huge swaths.
Like, if you are trying to find a local plumber or, you know, a specialized HVAC contractor or a boutique landscaping company relying on a LinkedIn-heavy database is basically like looking for a great local taco stand in a corporate financial registry.
That's a great analogy.
You're just looking in the wrong place. You are searching a map that doesn't include the terrain you're trying to navigate. The taco stand isn't filing quarterly earnings reports.
No, they are not.
And the local plumber is certainly not posting thought leadership on LinkedIn.
Definitely not. The terrain is completely different. Those local service businesses, niche independent professionals, and specialty contractors simply do not maintain the digital footprint that traditional databases are programmed to scrape.
Which I think brings us to the paradigm shift with Origami. Because when I was reading through the notes on how this tool actually works, I had to read it twice.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They solve the static database problem by just not having a database.
Right. That is the core architectural differentiator. Origami operates as a discovery layer, not a storage layer.
Okay.
So instead of querying a saved spreadsheet from 6 months ago, it uses AI agents to dynamically crawl the internet in real time.
See, I have to express some skepticism here.
Fair enough.
Because scraping the live web sounds like a logistical nightmare, the internet is massive. So if I type in a prompt looking for businesses, am I sitting there staring at a loading screen for an hour while an AI reads the entire internet? Like, how does that actually work in practice?
Well, it comes down to targeted parallel processing.
Yeah.
Origami isn't reading the whole internet, right? It's deploying agents to simultaneously query between 15 and 50 plus highly specific live data sources the absolute moment you hit enter.
Wow. Okay, so it's doing it all at once.
Exactly. It transforms the process from a historical lookup into an active discovery mission.
Okay, let's break down the sources. Where are these AI agents actually looking if they aren't looking at LinkedIn? Because this is where the taco stand analogy gets solved, right?
Right. So the very first place Origami looks for local and SMB targets is Google Maps.
Which is so obvious in hindsight, but brilliant.
Totally brilliant. It bypasses the professional network entirely. It searches Google Maps for businesses by category, location, star rating, review count.
Right, because a mom-and-pop roofing company might not have a slick corporate page, but
Yeah.
they absolutely have a Google Maps listing with customer reviews.
Exactly. And the AI pulls that live listing.
What other sources are we talking about?
Another critical source is aggregated job boards.
Job boards.
Yeah. The AI crawls over 100 different hiring platforms simultaneously.
Wait, why job boards? Just to see if the company is growing.
It acts as real-time intent data. And intent data is basically the holy grail of sales.
Okay, how so?
It tells you who is in the market right now. If a company has an active live job posting for a VP of sales, that is a massive buying signal.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, a company actively spending money to hire leadership has budget, they have a recognized need, and they are in motion. Discovering that a company exists is helpful, sure, but discovering that they are actively hiring for a role related to your product, that is transformative.
And since it's a live crawl, you aren't finding a job posting from 8 months ago that they already filled. You're finding the one posted like this Tuesday.
Precisely. And beyond maps and job boards, the agents also scrape e-commerce platforms like Shopify and WooCommerce.
Nice. So for e-commerce brands.
Yeah. If you target online retailers, Origami filters them by the platform they run on, their category, and even their estimated web traffic. Furthermore, it performs live tech stack detection.
Tech stack detection, meaning it looks at the actual code on a company's website.
Yes, it scans the source code of the websites it finds to identify the specific software the company is running today.
That's crazy.
I know. So if your product is, say, an add-on for HubSpot, The AI agents will specifically flag companies that currently have the HubSpot tracking code embedded on their site.
Okay, we've established the sources, the live breathing internet, but logistically, interacting with a system that cross-references Google Maps, 100 job boards, and website source code sounds incredibly complex.
It sounds like it should be, yeah.
Right. Traditionally, if I wanted to do that, I'd need to hire a developer to build a custom API scraper, basically writing code that connects directly to the back end of those platforms to extract data. Or at the very least, I'd need to master Boolean searches, you know, using complex logic gates with endless ANDI or ORI and not modifiers.
Well, the interface is deceptively simple, actually, and it requires zero coding or logic gates.
Really?
Yeah, Origami operates entirely on natural language. You communicate with it using plain English prompts, very similar to how you would talk to a human assistant.
Yeah, the examples in the DIY Marketer's review show exactly this. You don't need code. You just type. Marketing agencies in Chicago with 10 to 50 employees using HubSpot. And boom, the AI agents go to work.
Right. They parse the sentence, understand the parameters, deploy the agents to the right sources, and return a structured, exportable spreadsheet.
It's just that easy.
The ease of use is high, yes. But, I mean, there is a learning curve regarding specificity.
What do you mean?
The quality of your output scales directly with how specific your prompt is. You cannot just type businesses in Ohio and expect a usable list.
Right, that would be garbage.
Exactly. Ivana Taylor's review breaks down three distinct prompt levels that illustrate how you need to engineer your request to get the most out of the AI.
Okay, let's walk through those three levels, because prompt engineering for lead generation feels like a completely new skill set for a lot of marketers.
It is. So the first level is the broad prompt. This just provides the baseline parameters. For example, HVAC contractors in Ohio with 5 to 50 employees. It gives the AI a clear industry category, a geographic boundary, and a company size constraint.
Simple enough. But you can layer on more complexity with the second level, which they call the constraint prompt, right?
Yes. With the constraint prompt, you actually ask the AI to perform qualitative analysis.
Okay.
So you would type HVAC contractors in Ohio with 5 to 50 employees that appear to do commercial work.
Wait, how does it know they do commercial work if there isn't a simple checkbox on Google Maps for that?
This is where natural language processing comes in.
Yeah.
The AI isn't just looking for the keyword commercial using a basic text search.
Right.
It's actually reading the unstructured text on the company's website.
Oh, wow. It reads the website.
Yeah. It looks at their services page, their project galleries, or their client testimonials to understand the context. It infers from the website copy whether their business model targets residential homeowners or commercial office buildings.
It is essentially doing the manual research an intern would do, but at scale. And the third level.
The signal prompt. This layers on the intent data we discussed earlier. So HVAC contractors in Ohio with 5 to 50 employees hiring installers in the last 60 days.
Ah, let's see.
Yeah, the AI is cross-referencing the baseline company list with recent time-bound activity on job boards.
So the AI finds a company on Google Maps, reads their website to confirm they do commercial HVAC work, and then checks job boards to see they're actively hiring technicians.
Yep.
That is phenomenal context for a sales pitch.
It really is.
But here is the critical gap. A Google Maps listing usually just has a generic front desk phone number or like an info at email address, and a website contact page is usually a black hole. So how does Origami actually get me the owner's direct email address?
Well, finding the company is only the first half of the process. The second half is the waterfall verification system.
Waterfall. I hear that term a lot in data enrichment. Explain how that actually functions here.
Think of it like a bouncer checking a series of VIP lists. Origami doesn't rely on just one contact database to find the email. Once it identifies the target company and the relevant decision maker, it cascades that person's name through at least 5 different specialized email data providers.
Like who?
Independent services like Findymail or People Data Labs. So it asks the first provider, do you have a verified email for this person? If the answer is no, it immediately flows down to the next provider and the next.
And the first verified result it finds is the one that wins.
Correct. And it performs a similar cascade for phone numbers too, querying 9 different telecom data providers.
Wow.
Yeah, cross-checks multiple external sources rapidly, filters out the invalid hits, and then drops the surviving verified contact information into your final table.
Okay, so if this tool is doing the heavy lifting of a massive enterprise platform, I mean, scraping the live web, parsing unstructured text, and running waterfall enrichment through 14 different providers, how on earth is a fractional chief marketing officer or a local plumber supposed to afford the compute power for that?
Well, this aligns perfectly with why DIY marketers reviewed it in the first place. Their core philosophy is helping businesses build an effective marketing stack for under $17 a day.
Right.
And Origami is positioned very aggressively on price. They offer a free tier so users can test the AI agents in the interface. And then the starter plan is just $29 a month.
$29 a month for live web scraping is incredibly accessible.
It really is.
But let's look at the broader competitive landscape, because based on the ideal customer profile in the notes, Origami is not a universal replacement for every single business.
No, definitely not.
So who is this not for?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, if you are selling B2B software to highly active LinkedIn users, a tool like Apollo is still likely your best bet.
Because they live on LinkedIn anyway.
Right. Apollo is around $49 a month, but it wins heavily on workflow integration. It has built-in email sequencers to actually send the messages, dialers for your sales reps, and native CRM syncing.
Meaning it pushes your data straight into Salesforce or HubSpot automatically, and Origami doesn't do that.
No. Origami is strictly a discovery and enrichment layer.
Yeah.
It finds the hidden data, but you still need to bring your own outreach tool, like Instantly or Lemlist, to execute the campaign. It isn't an all-in-one outbound platform.
Got it. And then on the extreme high end, you have ZoomInfo.
Yeah, ZoomInfo starts around $15,000 a year.
$15,000?
Yeah, it provides incredibly deep, complex organizational charts for Fortune 500 companies. So if you have a massive enterprise sales team navigating multi-layered corporate buying committees, you need ZoomInfo.
Right.
But for a solopreneur, an e-commerce brand, or someone targeting local SMBs, it's just financial overkill. And it provides data you will literally never use.
So Origami is for local service businesses, e-commerce, fractional marketers, people who drop in as part-time CMOs for smaller brands, and really anyone targeting niche industries that are invisible on LinkedIn. But the research notes include a very stern warning. Because Origami is new, and because it recently hit number one on Product Hunt, there is a massive amount of hype surrounding it right now.
Oh, there's always hype.
Always. And the sources explicitly warn against taking any new AI tools' claims blindly.
Yeah, because it is remarkably easy for a software company to slap a chatbot interface over a mediocre outdated database and market it as an AI-powered tool.
Oh, that happens all the time. So how can you, listening to this right now, know if the live scraping actually works for your specific niche before you commit your marketing budget?
Well, you don't trust the marketing copy. You run a structured test. The review outlines a testing framework called a bake-off.
A bake-off. I like that.
Yeah. You pit your current tool against the new tool using the three-list method.
Walk us through the mechanics of that bake-off.
First, you must select one narrow ideal customer profile. Don't test multiple industries at once. Pick a segment your current database actively struggles with.
So we'll stick with the Ohio HVAC contractors.
Right. You run your best natural language prompt through Origami. That generates list A.
Okay.
Then you apply the closest equivalent filters in your current tool, whether that is Apollo, ZoomInfo, or just an industry directory. That generates list B.
And then you export 100 accounts from each platform into a spreadsheet.
Yes. Then you deduplicate the combined lists by the company's domain name.
Domain name, not company name.
Exactly. Do not deduplicate by the company name because naming conventions vary, right?
Mm.
Bob's HVAC versus Bob's HVAC LLC. But the website domain is a unique identifier.
Makes sense.
This leaves you with list C, the overlap.
And the overlap isn't actually what we care about, right?
No, not at all. We are looking for the net new valid accounts. Did Origami actually surface relevant companies that your traditional database was completely blind to?
Right. And the sources practically beg the reader not to skip the final step here, the manual audit.
Yes, do not skip this.
You can't just look at the spreadsheet and assume the AI got it right. You have to manually spot check 30 to 50 of those records.
Yes.
Click the website link. Does the actual business match the AI's summary? Look at the Google Maps listing. Does the employee count look reasonable, or did it flag a two-person shop as a 50-person enterprise? Because if the AI is hallucinating data, the tool is worthless.
Completely worthless, which leads to the final, most critical warning regarding the export data. Even if the bake-off proves the tool finds great companies, you must never blindly trust a lead generation tool's internal email verification.
Wait, even with Origami's multi-provider waterfall?
Even then, before you load those contacts into your campaign software, you must run the exported list through an independent third-party email verifier like Zero Bounce or Never Bounce.
Okay.
We discussed the catastrophe of a 5% bounce rate earlier. An independent verifier is your insurance policy against that sender reputation damage.
Because they just double-check the email address one last time.
Exactly. Your target bounce rate should always be under 3%. If the verifier flags a chunk of your newly scraped list as risky, you just saved your entire email domain from being blacklisted.
That is a phenomenal safety net to keep in mind.
It is.
So, pulling all of this together, we're looking at a landscape where static B2B databases fail local and niche markets because they rely too heavily on LinkedIn, and they fail on delivery due to the rapid decay of historical data.
Right.
Origami steps in as a highly affordable AI-driven gap filler. For $29 a month, it allows marketers to use natural language to scrape the live web, check real-time intent signals like job boards, and enrich that data using a cascading waterfall of specialized providers.
Yeah, it really finds the invisible companies. But, you know, you still have to do the heavy lifting of actually reaching out and building the relationship.
Exactly. As the review reminds us, no tool replaces a warm referral. So, you know, run the free tier, set up your bake-off, and see if you can find your hidden taco stands.
Yeah. And, you know, if we step back and look at the broader implications of this technology, it raises a fascinating question.
What's up?
If AI agents can now dynamically crawl the live web, parsing unstructured text and synthesizing intent signals from 50 different sources, the moment you hit enter, how long until the concept of a static B2B database becomes completely obsolete?
That's a good point.
We may be witnessing the transition from an era where companies value owning data to an era defined by generating data on demand.
That is a profound thought to leave on. The infrastructure of how we find businesses isn't just getting a software update. The entire methodology is being reinvented. You don't need to buy an outdated map when you have a tool that can read the live terrain. Thank you for joining us for another deep dive. Take that bake-off framework, apply it to your own stack, and stay curious. We'll see you next time.